RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You don't typically think of children as having eating disorders. You think of it as in teens and older women, you know, women in their 20s, but it can happen to children too. It can happen to teens. It can happen to young women and men, you know, and it may be more common than you think. How do you spot disordered eating in your child? My guest is Dr. Linda Reed-Chasiakos. She's a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Reed. So spotting disordered eating, what is a parent to look for?
Well, it's actually quite common, and we're seeing it much more in children, especially at younger ages. Hospitalizations for eating disorders have increased 119% in the last decade. This is for children. And in children, it's common in both boys and girls. These eating disorders are fall into categories such as anorexia, in which eating is restricted, a very low number of calories, and unusual eating patterns, in which children and teens will often tend to eat the same foods and spend hours eating a very small amount of food and then go and exercise, perhaps with an unusual amount of energy, to burn off the small number of calories that they ate. Bulimia nervosa is a little bit more common than anorexia, which is seen in less than 1% of our population. Bulimia tends to be seen in about 2% of our population, and it's characterized by binge eating and then some method of purging, which could be vomiting, which could be fasting, or which could be exercise, an activity that's out of proportion to what might be appropriate or healthy. And then there are binge eating disorders. And if you look at disordered eating in general, that doesn't qualify for the full diagnosis of anorexia or bulimia. As many as 25% of teenagers and certainly a lot of children suffer from disordered eating. So it's quite common. And it's triggered to some extent by a society that is providing images through television, magazines, the media, and peer pressure for thinness that triggers dieting behaviors even in children as young as 5 and 6 years old.
Now, that's what we've always heard, too, Dr. Reed, is that, you know, the media is portraying these models. They airbrush them even thinner. They have a gaunt, really starved look to them. And some of the, you know, modeling agencies and such are starting to, you know, you're starting to hear a little bit of backlash about that, but maybe not nearly enough. It's still thin is better, and the thinner, the better. And you see these reality shows, and, oh, it's crazy. So these are giving our children, our teens, ideas that this is the perfection that they should strive for. Now, what is a parent to do to sort of offset that? So you've given us good signs and symptoms of disordered eating. Now give us a little bit of prevention, and then in the time we have left, we're going to talk about treatment.
One of the critical things a parent can do is help your child understand media messages. What's the purpose of a media message? They want to sell you something. So they're going to use any mechanism they can, like creating unrealistic photoshopped images of models to make you as the teen or child feel inadequate, and then go out and buy whatever it is that they're selling so that you can supposedly look like the model, who doesn't exist in reality because she's been photoshopped to look the way she does. So teaching children how to interpret these media messages and to understand that these are not reality, that there's nothing wrong with you, that they're just trying to sell you something and you're not necessarily going to fall for it because you understand what they're doing, and helping to build their self-esteem. And, of course, helping to encourage young men and women to have a healthy diet, get a good night's sleep, get healthy exercise, and to use techniques to reduce stress that don't involve eating or dieting, such as hanging out with friends and engaging in after-school activities and family activities. These are all things that can help promote a healthy lifestyle.
And as a parent, we have to work hard on keeping ourselves from saying, you know, oh, I look so fat in this outfit, especially when we're going shopping with our girls or if we're busy doing stuff and we look at ourselves and we know that we've negative self-talk. We do this, we women. And, oh, my God, I look so bad in this. We don't want our children to hear us saying those things because then they will roll that. They will mimic that and they'll become like that because that's what they see us do. Now, if we suspect that there's true disordered eating, what are the treatments like now?
Well, many times just a consultation with a pediatrician who may or may not refer a family to a nutritionist as well can be helpful. Recommending healthy eating in the home and normalizing physical activity so that it's not excessive can be helpful. If a pediatrician suspects anorexia or bulimia, then the pediatrician might help guide the family through a treatment program that can help an anorexic gain weight on an outpatient basis or a bulimic reduce or and stop eventually the purging behaviors. There are some medications that are being considered for anorexia, but the effectiveness has not been proven and they're not recommended on a general basis yet. Bulimia, because many eating disorders do have associated other psychological issues, such as anxiety and depression, bulimics have found that sometimes using an antidepressant can be helpful in reducing both some of the behaviors and some of the symptoms that we've talked about with bulimia. So it's possible that medication as well as nutritional guidance and family support can be used with bulimia.
Well, I think with any of the disordered eating, family support is important because unlike other kinds of addictions or situations, you have to eat. And so when it becomes something you either do to excess or not enough, it affects every part of your family and your body, and it can be so, so devastating for the entire family. So now, in just a minute and a half or so, Dr. Reed, wrap it up for us on disordered eating and our children spotting it and really prevention.
Some questions that you can ask. Do you make yourself sick because you feel uncomfortably full? Do you worry that you've lost control over how much you eat? Have you recently lost weight? Especially a significant amount, as much as 15 pounds. Do you believe yourself to be fat when others say you are too thin? And would you say that food dominates your life? This is from a screening called the SCOFF questionnaire, and it's one that parents can use and ask the questions and talk about it with their teens. With younger children, I think, again, a visit to the pediatrician and monitoring height, weight, and BMI and tracking to see if something is going wrong. In other words, if someone is growing as they normally should be, then chances are that healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle are in play. But if we see somebody's weight and BMI dropping, especially precipitously, or if we see behavioral changes such as obsessive or compulsive types of behaviors, then these are markers, and your pediatrician can help you by doing at least an annual height, weight, and BMI and tracking how your child and adolescent is growing, and then identifying if something's off track, what interventions, which could be nutritional guidance, it could be psychological support, family support, and in rare cases, but occasionally it's necessary, inpatient treatment or hospitalization.
Thank you for the great information, Dr. Reed. You know, it's all about the health of our children, and we have to, as parents, keep an eye out for all of these kinds of things. Scary as they are, we do need to know the symptoms and the signs so that we can give our children the best help that's out there. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And remember, you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. And stay well.